My name is Leonidas, and this is Informed Dissent.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 28 of Informed Dissent, the podcast where we push back on the culture of groupthink and challenge the narrative. Hope everyone is having a great week. And I hope you are continuing to trust the science and the experts because they are always right. They never, ever lie to us. Never. I guess we can't actually call it lying anymore or even misleading. We just say that the science changed. Yeah, I love that. Can us normal people do that? Because I will absolutely pledge 100% to follow every recommendation or mandate given to me by the CDC from here on out. Then when I don't do it, I'll just say, the science changed. It's not lying. It's just moving the truth around to fit what I want at any given moment. It's my truth. I can do what I want with it. Trust me, I'm an expert. Man, yeah, instead of COVID, maybe we should be talking more about this highly infectious mind virus that is far more dangerous and destructive to our society, that causes people to just lose their ability to think rationally at all and to be driven by fear and hysteria and then come to all of these absurd conclusions while lashing out at anyone who doesn't do the same. That seems to be much more of a threat. Now, when it comes to COVID, I should probably say that I am firmly in the individual liberty camp, and you guys know this about me. I believe strongly that people should do whatever it is that they believe is best for themselves and their family, regardless of what I personally think about it. And that includes things like getting vaccinated. So I don't want people to feel ashamed or feel like I'm coming down on you if you decided to get it. That's not the case. That's not what I'm criticizing here when I talk about mind viruses. We know that COVID is real and that certain people are at a higher risk. And man, that's just a decision that you're going to have to make for yourself. That's what liberty means. And you know, my critique here is focused on the messaging of the federal government and the CDC, as well as their various experts, including Fauci and Walensky. And also the mainstream media, and then anyone and everyone who's trying to force me to do something that I don't want or need to do. Those are the people I have a problem with. And I've said from the beginning that people should do what they think is right for themselves. And honestly, that's what the CDC messaging should have been this entire time. They should have said, you know what? Here's what we think is going on right now. But we can't be entirely certain. So here's what we're recommending based on what we've seen, but everyone should do what they think is best for themselves. Also, wash your hands. Had they said that, had they come out and acknowledged that the science was not definitive and didn't push things as incontrovertible truth, people likely would have been much more receptive. But what they did instead is pass down dogmatic narratives that no one was allowed to question or challenge in any way whatsoever, and social media companies were censoring anyone who did. And then later they pull a complete 180 and say, well, the science changed. Are you kidding me? The AP posted an article yesterday assuring people that there is no evidence that vaccines cause infertility. How do they know? They don't. There is no evidence because it hasn't been properly studied. They can't know if they do or don't. Now, there is research that provides evidence that vaccines may be linked to miscarriages for women who get them in the second or third trimester. So there's already research that it may harm pregnant women. But the point is that they don't know about infertility. So why not just say that? Why not just say that it's unknown? Because that wouldn't be conducive to what they're trying to accomplish, which is getting as many people vaccinated as possible. No time to worry about potential long-term side effects.
Look, I'm perfectly fine with debunking the idea that vaccines definitely cause infertility if it hasn't been studied. But what is equally irresponsible is saying that they don't when you don't know. In case you think I'm being hyperbolic here, this "there is no evidence" thing has been used repeatedly to discredit claims that later turn out to be true, or claims that they completely flip their position on later. And I'm sure you guys remember these. For instance, before COVID showed up in the United States, we were told there is no evidence of human-to-human transmission. No evidence. Not no evidence yet, just no evidence. We were supposed to trust them then. What they should have said is we don't know. We were told by Anthony Fauci himself that pandemics never, and I mean never, spread through asymptomatic carriers. He was adamant about it. It never happens. There is no evidence that asymptomatic spread drives pandemics. Now, that's the only thing we ever hear. You could be sick and not know it and be spreading it. Be afraid. Be terrified. We were told initially not to wear masks. You remember that? Even the social media blue check brigade were out in full force condemning people for wearing them and not trusting the CDC. The CDC had said that there was no evidence that masks provide any benefit and would just serve as a false sense of security and make things worse. It's okay, though. They weren't lying. The science just changed. And honestly, the idea that masks don't work and they only provide a false sense of security, I think that's true. And I think that's the only time during this entire thing that the CDC was actually being honest. But man, every time I hear the phrase now, "there is no evidence," my ears perk up and I start suspecting rhetorical games, because that is what has been happening this entire pandemic. And I hate to be so cynical about it, but man, Fauci and the CDC have taken every single possible side of every issue during this pandemic. So it's difficult to have confidence in their leadership. And honestly, given their level of expertise and the fact that this has been heavily politicized, it's also difficult to not question their motives. Because the line between incompetence and malice is extremely blurry sometimes. But think about it. If the trend of shifting science continues, what would a rational person take from a statement like, "there is no evidence that the vaccine causes infertility"? And I'm not suggesting that they do or don't. I'm just saying that the shifting narratives should at least give one pause, especially when the mainstream media comes out with their sanctimonious foolishness and starts mocking people for suggesting that something could happen that is perfectly plausible. And like I said, long-term effects are unknown because it hasn't even been long enough to determine if there are long-term effects. So the whole thing is ridiculous. There was an interesting chart that was circulating around on social media. It came from a study conducted by Carnegie Mellon University and the University of Pittsburgh, where they looked at vaccine hesitancy, which I really don't like that term, by the way, because most people aren't hesitant. They just don't think they need it or don't want it. But anyway, they looked at people who didn't want the vaccine and how it related to education level. And what they found was a U-shaped curve where the people most unwilling to get vaccinated were those with the least education and those with the most education. Now, that doesn't line up at all with the national narrative and what our moral betters at MSNBC and CNN have been telling us. It paints an entirely different picture of what's actually happening. Yeah, and also another thing, it's estimated that around only 25% of Black people are fully vaccinated, which is another huge wrinkle in the prevailing narrative that attempts to divide up our country into factions and pit them against each other. You know, it's especially amusing because places like New York and San Francisco that are now implementing vaccine passports to go to bars and restaurants and theaters and whatnot, Basically, to go anywhere to socialize and have fun, you have to prove that you're vaccinated. Well, since Black people make up a disproportionate number of unvaccinated people in those cities and around the country, then such mandates will disproportionately affect Black people. And if we're to believe the narratives of critical race theory and anti-racism advocates like Ibram X. Kendi, then any system that results in disparate impacts and racial disparities is inherently a racist system. Ergo, vaccine passports are a clear example of systemic racism. And that means Bill de Blasio in New York and Ed Lee in San Francisco are both raging racist. Them's the rules. But, you know, amazingly, we have heard absolutely nothing from our favorite critical race theory experts about this injustice, which makes you question their motives. Surely they're not just peddling these systemic racism ideas for the purpose of manipulation and gaining power. That couldn't be. No, trust the experts. We must always and forever trust the experts. They have our best interest at heart, guys. You know, speaking of systemic racism, there was a mother in Atlanta who is suing the Atlanta School District over racial segregation. Yeah. Now, this is a Black mom suing a school district with a Black superintendent over racial segregation in her child's school implemented by a Black principal. I'm not joking. It's not a joke. This is how far we've fallen. And this is why I say this thing is a mind virus, because it just completely causes people to lose all sense of rational thought. All together. Everything is driven by emotional reasoning, and you lose all sense of reality and truth until you start to believe just ridiculous things like, hey, maybe men can be women, or hey, maybe we should bring back racial segregation. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. It is yet another example of how anti-racism is actually just plain old racism, and progressivism is actually just regressive. You know, I think about the civil rights movement and everything that those involved with it went through and what they endured to defeat things like racial segregation and to promote judging people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin. They went through all that they went through only to see Black principals in 2021 dividing kids into Black and white classes. Right? To embrace this bigotry of low expectations, because that's what it is. This bigotry of low expectations. Believing that Black children must have special accommodations in order to do as well as white children. And we're seeing that trend across our entire society, even outside of schools. Standards are changed all over the place to accommodate so-called people of color. It should be considered extremely insulting and demeaning, because it is. I don't need special treatment in order to succeed, okay? I don't. I can't imagine anyone wanting to be in a position where they're unsure if they got accepted into a program or got hired for a job because of their race and not because of their talent and ability. It's insulting. Why would you want that? I don't understand it at all. I just saw that Oregon's Board of Education has said that they're removing testing standards for graduation to make things more equitable. What kind of message does that send when you do things like that? Because the message that I'm hearing is that if you're Black, or if you're not white, then you're not as good as the white students, and that standards must be lowered so that you can succeed. How is that not white supremacy? Man, why are these people allowed to have power? There should be massive uprisings against this stuff. You know, I mentioned the civil rights movement, but if you zoom out, you can see this trend in the larger society where we have this situation where those who came before us fought and bled and died to give us this incredible blessing that is America, only for modern day Americans to fail to recognize that blessing and scoff at it and throw it into the garbage. So it extends well beyond race, and it's just this general thing that's happening on the left. And I attribute it directly to the mind virus. The mind virus makes you hate your own country and to have no sense of perspective and gratitude, like we talked about last episode. Just disdainfully spitting on the sacrifice of the people who came before us. Arnold Schwarzenegger's saying, "Screw your freedom," is a classic example of people just not understanding how valuable freedom is. And I understand being afraid. I get it. But fear does not trump liberty. Ever. Two people, I think they were father and son, flew to Hawaii and were arrested for presenting fake COVID vaccine records. Per The Hill, Norbert Chung and Trevor Chung, both from the U.S. mainland, were detained on Sunday after receiving a tip from a community member prior to their arrival. They face up to a $5,000 fine and up to a year in prison. Are you kidding me? A hefty fine and possibly prison time for faking a vaccine passport? How have we allowed fear to turn us into this? What's even more horrifying is that someone, I assume it was someone they knew, turned them in, tipped off the authorities before they got there. Otherwise, I'm not sure they would have caught it, because those vaccine cards are just a piece of cardstock and your information is handwritten. So I'm just wondering how they even knew it was falsified. But regardless, this cannot be how things operate in this country. We cannot allow ourselves to be so terrified of our own neighbors that we demand that they be removed from society. History has taught us many, many lessons about what happens when you do this. There was a report yesterday that the Biden administration has discussed banning interstate travel and altering reimbursement for medical treatment for unvaccinated individuals. The only reason they haven't done it yet is because, and I quote, "it would be too polarizing." That's it. Nothing about the ethics or morality of such a policy, but simply because they know that it would cause an uprising, and it should. It should cause an uprising. Man, these people are insane. Well, I shouldn't say that. They aren't insane. They are diabolical. Absolutely diabolical. They know exactly what they're doing, and they don't care. Jesse Kelly said something on Twitter that I thought encapsulated this perfectly. He said, "The radicals who actually run the Biden administration would have you shot for being unvaccinated if they thought they could get away with it. Until you accept that, you're never going to understand these people." Absolutely. I mean, I think we've allowed ourselves to get trapped in this bubble of superiority where we believe that we're too enlightened and too sophisticated to allow what has happened elsewhere also happen here. And I've talked about this naive arrogance before. And I've wondered, you know, how many people in countries like Venezuela and Cuba and Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union, et cetera, that believed that they too would never fall victim to propaganda and allow their country to be destroyed, only to then see it collapse right before their very eyes. I mean, to believe that we are better than them is folly. To believe that you are somehow immune to being manipulated by demagoguery and having your strings pulled by filling your world with fear and uncertainty. To believe that psychological warfare only works on those weak minds over there, it's foolish. You have to always be checking yourself, always asking, what if I'm wrong? Always looking at second and third order effects, and never allowing the ends to justify abhorrent means. It's like what Nietzsche said, beware that when fighting monsters, that you do not become a monster yourself. The cure cannot be worse than the disease. And yet here we are, failing to recognize the danger that we're in. allowing speech to be labeled as violence, silence to be labeled as violence. Believing in two genders is violence. Not embracing the narrative of racial victimhood is violence. Not wearing masks and not being vaccinated is violence. Everything that goes against leftist ideology makes you a violent person who must be dealt with as such. This administration, and many on the left in general, would absolutely have you shot if they thought they could get away with it. That is the key. It's why the Jews weren't immediately exterminated, but needed to be systematically dehumanized and have the populace turn against them before they could be carted off and disposed of. Listen, if you think I'm being alarmist here, consider this. Few people would have supported vaccine mandates at the beginning of this pandemic. Few people would have supported it. And now, people are enthusiastically demanding them. What happened? There was a gradual shift in tolerance for authoritarianism, and an increase in fear, and an increase in blame shifting toward people who refuse to follow the government mandates. You saw it at the beginning. People who wore masks when the CDC said not to were attacked. People who didn't wear masks when the CDC said to were attacked. So it wasn't about the masks. It was about what the CDC was saying and the authoritarian tendencies of people and the fear and the ability to turn people against each other. That's all it was. It had nothing to do with the mask. It had to do with the messaging. People who went out and about or kept their businesses open during lockdowns, they were attacked. People who didn't social distance properly were attacked, and so on and so on. Whatever Fauci said, whatever the CDC said, it was the people not doing that who were the problem. Even though it would shift, even though it flipped 180 degrees 2 days later or a day later, it didn't matter. You had to do exactly what they said. Now, it's the unvaccinated who are the problem. And they have wrapped all of it into one group and have decided that this group is literally killing people. Never mind the contradictions with the vaccinated people still spreading the virus and getting sick. None of that matters. What matters is the narrative. And the narrative says that the pandemic persists, the variants are worse, and people are dying because of the unvaccinated. Now, consider the fact that we do already have a tolerance for removing people from society who hurt and kill others. We have no problem doing that, and we don't feel bad about it at all. If you intentionally hurt or kill someone else, we will applaud as the police take you away, and we'll feel nothing when they stick a different kind of needle into your arm. We have no problem with it because you're a murderer. And this is especially true if the victim is a child. So, what happens if the government is able to convince people that this group over here is literally killing other people? And since not getting the vaccine is an intentional act, the leap to intentional murder is not a long one for these people. And I've seen it already. I've seen the messaging going out that it's akin to murder. There was a lady at a school board meeting, and I'm forgetting what school district it was now, but that's what she said. She said that there needs to be mask mandates. I think it was somewhere in Florida. She said there needs to be mask mandates in the schools because children don't have a right to come to school and murder other children. That's the language that she used. If your kid doesn't wear a mask in school, then they are literally murdering other children. This is where we are. This is what they're saying. Now, if the government is able to convince you that not getting the vaccine is akin to murder, then you'll have no problem watching the police cart away these murderers and dangers to public health and safety and be put away and even killed themselves. You'll applaud because you've been convinced that they are a threat that must be disposed of. We already do that. We already do it with actual murderers. So all the government has to do is convince you that these people over here are murderers. You understand what I'm saying? You think it can't happen here. But my goodness, folks, it already has. FDR, during World War II, decided that the Japanese Americans living in America were a threat to national security and must be placed in internment camps after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And people supported it because they were afraid. They allowed their fear to cause them to commit reprehensible acts. They allowed the government to manipulate them to make them believe that their Japanese American neighbors were threats to their safety and must be removed from society for the greater good. Thankfully, it didn't end like the Holocaust did, but it very easily could have had things continued to escalate. But it was bad enough for what it was. And if you look at the Holocaust, Germans too were trained to view the Jews as threats. By the time the Jewish people were being carted off to camps, the German people knew. They didn't just think, but they knew that Jews were a threat to public health and safety. They knew it. This has been the case over and over and over again throughout history. Fear has been the driver, and propaganda has manipulated people in supporting atrocity after atrocity. People just don't realize that they're repeating history because things don't always look exactly like what happened before. But people believe that they're somehow above what has happened throughout history. And it's naive. So they look at those other people and they recognize the moral depravity in what happened in those other countries. But they believe that they themselves are morally justified, that their pursuit is righteous, and that going after this other group of people is a rational thing to do. What is it going to take to wake people up? Look, I don't mean to be all doom and gloom here, but it's frustrating. We keep talking about these things and making these arguments over and over and over again, and I'm tired of reality continually giving way to fear and emotional reasoning, and watching those in power blatantly manipulate people. I'm tired of it. It is constant fear and manipulation, 24 hours a day. They tell us white supremacy is everywhere, and it's this massive threat of violence. COVID is going to kill us all, and the Alpha Lambda Delta variant is going to murder us in our sleep. Those gun owners are all going to commit mass shootings and kill everyone. The murder hornets are going to sting us to death. Don't forget the meth gators. And of course, the narrative is now shifting back to climate change. You know, it's always incredible how coordinated the narratives are with these things, like what's happening now with climate change. You know, all of a sudden, there's a barrage of articles about climate change and political speeches talking about climate change, all kinds of tweets, and they all use the same talking points and buzzwords. It's amazing. Totally organic. But, you know, here's my concern with climate change. We've seen what they've been able to do with COVID. And this whole idea of emergency authorization and ends justify the means kind of thinking. So I'm concerned that they're going to keep doing it. Why wouldn't they? If it's effective and politically expedient to do so, why wouldn't they do the same thing with climate change? Why not lock people down, control where they can go and who they can see, decide what kind of vehicles they're allowed to drive? Implement that mileage tax, which, you know, a plan to study it is actually included in that massive infrastructure bill. I don't know if you saw that. But why wouldn't they? If you can make people afraid to live their lives and make them afraid of their neighbors, you can make them do anything. It's a simple concept. We have to get back to prioritizing individual liberty. We have to. We cannot allow these government goons to come in and convince us to not only give up our own freedom, but to take freedom from others. Or worse, take freedom from others simply because they don't align with the party's position, which is something straight out of 1984. We cannot do that. We cannot allow ourselves to be manipulated by these politicians and journalists who only care about advancing their own self-interest and political agendas. We cannot allow emotional reasoning to usurp rational thought and critical thinking. It was Voltaire who said, "Truly, whoever can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." If the God-given understanding of your mind does not resist a demand to believe what is impossible, then you will not resist a demand to do wrong to that God-given sense of justice in your heart. That is what it means to have a mind virus, and we need to inoculate ourselves against it and return back to the true principles of liberty, truth, and justice. Thanks for listening. I'm Leonidas, and this has been Informed Dissent.
If you would like to help support the show through donation, you can do so at donorbox.org/Leonidas. DonorBox.org/Leonidas. I really appreciate that. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe, give it a 5-star rating, share with your friends. Also, follow me on social media at Leonidas Johnson. And check out my website at leonidasjohnson.com. And always remember, do your own research, challenge everything. Don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe. We'll see you next week. God bless.